Okay. Hi, everyone. My name is actually Hillary Wall. I am not Laura Coe. I'm here presenting for a colleague who had the nerve to get pregnant 36 weeks ago and decided not to come out here. So I am going to be giving her presentation for her. But I'm happy to be here to talk to you today about the use of admission order sets to improve adherence to evidence-based performance measures for acute stroke care. And the analysis I'll be talking about today is actually from the Massachusetts Paul Coverdell National Acute Stroke Registry. Neither Laura nor myself have any relationships to disclose. To give you a little bit of background, stroke really became a hot topic in Massachusetts back in early 2004. The Massachusetts Department of Public Health, not the division I work in, but our regulators promulgated some regulations to develop a statewide primary stroke service designation for hospitals. And this was really for hospitals who were interested in treating acute stroke patients. So they had to show that they had written guidelines-based protocols, the ability to meet time targets for various aspects of imaging and management, treatment, and they also had to have 24/7 capacity to have access to a neurologist, be able to do CT scanning, etc. And we currently have 69 out of 72 acute care hospitals in our state who have this designation. So pretty much, if you have a stroke, you can go to most hospitals in Massachusetts. But this whole designation really put stroke as a forefront in our state. And around the same time that these regulations were being promulgated, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention offered a grant opportunity for states to become part of the Paul Coverdell National Acute Stroke Registry. And in July of 2004, Massachusetts was given funds to join that initiative. Now, it's not an incidence registry the way we think of cancer registries. It's more of a data collection and quality improvement initiative. And in Massachusetts, we work fairly closely with our American Stroke Association friends who have a program called Get With The Guidelines Stroke, which some of you may or may not know about. And the Coverdell Registry and Get With The Guidelines Stroke, for the most part, have very similar goals in mind. So we decided rather than compete against each other, we would join forces and work together as one. So we actually started an initiative called the Stroke Collaborative Reaching for Excellence, or SCORE, and that's our joint initiative in working with hospitals. And we have 56 hospitals who are participating in that SCORE initiative, and which is really nice because that represents about 85% of the annual stroke volume in our state. In terms of performance measures, you know, whenever you're partnering with a different organization who has similar goals but not exactly the same goals as your organization, you're always going to run into some barriers. And one of our barriers was that the performance measures we were each looking at were slightly different. Different inclusion-exclusion criteria, slightly different numerators and denominators, etc. So actually, in 2007, the CDC, the American Stroke Association, and the Joint Commission came to consensus after a very long and arduous process on 10 measures that those three organizations would be pushing forward for stroke care across the country. And they really cover the range of acute care, inpatient care, and discharge care for stroke patients. These are the 10 consensus stroke measures. The first one is that real acute piece, thrombolytic therapy administered. That's for emergency departments. The next three are inpatient measures, and the last six are discharge measures. Today I'm going to talk to you about an analysis that focuses on those three inpatient measures and looking to see if the use of a stroke admission order set is associated with an improved adherence to performance measures with regards to antithrombotic therapy at hospital day two, deep vein thrombosis prophylaxis, and dysphagia screening. So part of the Coverdell Registry in Massachusetts, or the SCORE initiative, is to provide technical assistance on not only improving data quality improvement, on improving data quality, but also clinical quality improvement as well. So we have a great stroke neurologist named Judy Hinchey, who has just a wealth of expertise in stroke quality improvement specifically, and she helps us to carry out this collaborative of hospitals where they're learning from each other. We're loosely following the IHI, Institute for Healthcare Improvement, model of plan, do, study, act cycles. We look at order sets from different hospitals. They get shared among hospitals. She critiques order sets. She critiques different screening tools like dysphagia screening tools that hospitals might want to implement. She gives them feedback. It's really a nice collaborative model that we have set up within our hospitals. And the reason we're looking at admission order sets, things like integrated care pathways, is because there is a good deal of evidence out there that shows this is a good way to get clinicians to practice to guidelines. These kinds of triggers, clinical reminders, it works in many different conditions. And there's this one study by Campbell et al. That showed a nice reduction in length of stay, hospital costs, clinical outcomes, etc. And also, our counterparts in California, actually, with the CASPER study, California Acute Stroke Pilot Registry, they found, are you our moderator?
Yes.
Yes, thank you. No, it's fine. It's fine. Well, we started without you. I hope you don't mind. So our friends at CASPER actually found there was an increase to adherence to guidelines-based care for stroke patients using standardized stroke admission order. So we decided to look at that as well. In our analysis, we looked at completed cases over a 2.5-year period, which was comprised of over 16,000 records. We excluded inpatient strokes, patients less than 18 years of age, so really looking at adults who had strokes outside of the hospital. We only included 55 hospitals in our analysis for a number of given reasons. And today, we're just going to talk about results from a univariate logistic regression model. So we've got some crude odds ratios right now to talk about. When we looked at the frequency of stroke admission order use, we found that all of our hospitals reported using a stroke admission order set with at least one of their patients. But overall, only about 40% of the cases had admission order sets used. So we really had a range across our hospitals from 1% to 100% of patients having stroke order sets utilized. And this is a distribution of stroke order use across our hospitals, and you can see almost half of our hospitals only use stroke admission order sets in less than 20% of their patients. So here are the crude odds ratios, and you can see that each of these three inpatient measures is associated with better adherence to the measure when a stroke admission order set was used. Dysphagia screening, we have an odds ratio of 2.7, DVT prophylaxis 3.5, antithrombotics by hospital day 2, 1.7. So those are nice, but obviously there are limitations with what I've just shown you. We need to do a multivariate logistic regression analysis where we control for potential confounders. We know anecdotally that our smaller hospitals have a difficult time putting in place something like a stroke order set. They don't think it's worth getting a stroke-specific order set put in place, all the hassle that they have to go through at their hospital. Some of the larger hospitals, they may have already had this in place. So I do think that the size of a hospital really will matter. We've also heard that when you've got residents in a hospital, it's sort of like protocol that you just have a disease-specific order set when you have those groups of residents. So we need to really look at those things. A few other limitations, whether or not a stroke admission order set was used is not what we call a required data element. By that I mean a hospital can close a record in our data collection tool as complete without having checked off yes or no for this box. So what we found is we had about 10% of missing values for this data element, and we don't know if an abstractor who was actually pulling the data from the medical record and entering it into the data collection tool, we don't know if they saw a generic hospital order set, hospital admission order set, if they maybe miscoded it and said, yes, they have stroke-specific order sets for admission. So we've got some issues to deal with. We do a chart audit annually on a proportion of the records entered into our data collection tool, and I think in the future that might be a good aspect to assess whether or not these are stroke-specific order sets that people tend to be using or generic hospital order sets. And this because using order sets, using these stroke-specific order sets, is a quality improvement tool for us. We have really been tracking the implementation of order sets over time, and you can see we've never gotten past that 50% mark with cases that are having order sets used with them. So as a state initiative, we really do have a lot of room for improvement with this particular aspect. And but just overall, I think that this analysis, it has its limitations, but it has suggested that there may be an association between the use of stroke-specific admission orders and improved adherence to guidelines-based care for stroke patients. As I said, Massachusetts definitely has room for improvement, which is good. We've got a goal to head towards. But it's also important that when you're doing anything like trying to get stroke admission order sets, that you really approach it from a systems change approach so that all patients are benefiting from these types of quality improvement initiatives. It's not just one nurse is implementing the standing orders. It really needs to go across a hospital system. So Laura, just wanted to acknowledge a few people. Myself, our data analyst, June O'Neill, Judy Hinchy, our stroke neurologist, and Cynthia Boddy-Willis, our principal investigator for the Coverdell Registry.